Start the show.
Two bears, one cave. Making it hot and looking good. He's Bert Kreischer. I'm Tom Segura.
Let's just put the pedal to the metal and go. This is a perfect way to start off this show. 12 years in the making. It's gonna be a fucking shit show.
Everyone's gonna hate us.
100%.
You can't just decide.
Oh my God, you fucking cunt. You're such a cunt. Oh, wait, what was
that? What neighborhoods people live in. That's discriminatory. We're all in this together, Bert. Maybe.
That was 2 minutes and 30 seconds?
Maybe moving forward, I'll do all the ads, you know?
Do you remember,
when does this come out, Blue Band? When does this come out?
This comes out later today.
Okay, great.
So we can talk about the Super Bowl.
And your heart attack.
Yeah, and my heart attack. Oh, let's hope that printed.
Let's see.
We'll go to, did you see the lady mix up the word Knicks and Lakers?
Yeah.
Dummy. What was that one?
Oh, it's not there?
It's not there yet.
How about just Bert Kreischer TMZ?
Ooh.
What's that all about?
It's my alarm to remind myself I didn't have a heart attack.
Oh. No.
No, not there. So I'll tell you guys what happened, and hopefully it'll... I want it to come out because I'll tell you why, but I got a call this morning from my agent and my managers, and they said TMZ is going to report that you had a heart attack. Are you okay? And I was like, I'm fine. And they're like, did you have a heart attack? And I was like, no. And they're like, okay, well, we'll call them and tell them you did. And I said, no. I said, I could use a day full of loving and thoughtful texts from people telling them how much they love me. I said, please don't report that I didn't have a heart. Please go. As a matter of fact, call them and say, you can't get a hold of me. I don't know where he is. He's not answering his phone. Neither is his wife.
Why don't we hit them up right now?
Who, TMZ?
Yeah.
Oh, hold on.
Why don't I tweet?
It's very different between me telling everyone I had a heart attack and TMZ saying I had a heart attack.
Hey, guys.
Oh, this is not what I'm looking for. By the way, this is the footage where we think it's funny and then you tweet it out and we get in trouble. I've been staying off social media because I want it to come out. Because I want to see the first person that texts me. Who do you think the first person that's going to text me is? I already texted you, Joe, and Ari.
You did?
Yeah.
How about that?
No, that's a horrible idea. That's a horrible fucking idea.
Why?
Because right now people are watching me green light that and go, yeah, send it. No.
Okay.
No. No.
And then... Like that?
Wait. Yeah. No. Oh, yeah. You're a fucking idiot.
I'll do this. Like that.
Oh.
All right. How about like that? So then there's like quotes around it.
Yeah. No, don't tweet any of that. Oh, speaking of which, the fucking funniest thing in the world happened.
Okay.
Are you privy to what went down this weekend? This is, hey, have you guys heard that? This is the funniest thing I've ever seen.
I wouldn't say it's funny that happened to Ari. I think that he kind of got in his own way. I'd say that, you know, he's struggling and he's a friend.
I love I haven't talked about that at all on podcast. Have you talked about it?
The thing was, we're a week behind. So on your mom's house. So we did a podcast like 2 days after.
Yeah.
The accident, and I was super super bummed out. So that'll actually come out this week.
Yeah, I was bummed out about Kobe's death. I've been having panic attacks since it. Because you go, and not that you don't, I know everyone dies, but you just don't see something like that coming.
No, I don't know if you ever have this, but I actually thought about how sometimes I have the thought that like, wow, something tragic hasn't happened in a while to my group of friends. And then it makes me like, it makes me anxious that like something's going to happen. And I had that thought like a week before.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm sorry. I meant like to people I know, and it's like an intrusive thought, and it makes me bummed out. But I got super depressed about that, about the accident, because I mean, obviously what it is. But then I talked about it before that like he and I are almost the same age. He's a year older than me, and you know, a dad and all this stuff. And it happened like near where I live, and all that together,
right where we shot the Netflix show.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah, right there, and it, all of it adding up, like just, and then the thing for me too is I start to, I can't handle the those pieces that they do, like at the arena pregame showing people, like when they break down, yeah, then I break down.
Oh God! So when Shaquille O'Neal broke down,
yeah.
I was sobbing. I was like sitting there sobbing. But I also think we have kids, so I think I'm definitely not defending what Ari said, but yeah. I'm saying I think he is a little far out on left field with a lot of things where I don't think he sees things or processes things the same way me and you may process them.
Definitely, and that part of that is the kids. Part of that is also his limited intellect.
Yeah,
but he is good at recognizing.
You should have seen the look on my daughter's face when they go, like, it was like almost like, yeah, of course that's what he did. Yeah, he also drugged my dad in front of me.
When
we were at a party last night, someone's like, can you even defend what Ari did? And I went, no. I said, no, I stopped defending him when he slipped me Molly. I can't stop going, let me go to bat for this guy.
No, I think that there is a thing though where he really truly did not register. He's done these death things a bunch.
But he did not
register what the impact of it for days. Because I was like, I whenever any of those things happen and somebody gets like in trouble with like and they're getting publicly attacked, I start to immediately worry about the well-being of the person, right?
Yeah.
Like I already know what they did was fucked up and wrong.
Yeah.
But I'm like, are you all right? And at first he was like, I'm fine, what are you talking about? I'm like, I mean, have you been online? And he's like, what?
Not real.
I'm like,
I think it's pretty fucking real.
But then like a few days later he's like, people are pretty upset. I'm like, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
This is what's interesting, is he very wisely decided to go offline.
That's absolutely what you should do.
However, that is almost as bad as like a out of touch father not knowing his kids have a drug addiction.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're fine. We just had dinner at the club the other night, right? Everyone's
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
We all wore suits.
Yeah, you're kind of like
missing it. He should have seen a little bit of what was being written about.
Right.
Like it's healthy to go offline.
Yeah. But
It was like almost like he was like the mayor in Amityville when Jaws showed up. He's like, no, it's 4th of July. We're going to have a party.
I didn't want to obviously like, I mean, I don't think he should see everything that was said about him. But they were saying that this looked like him. So I told him, I sent him this, that they're saying that looked like him.
Did you see the one tweet the one guy wrote about Ari's dad?
Yeah.
Oh,
that guy
God.
Got suspended.
Yeah, I know. He got kicked off Twitter.
Wow.
That's crazy. I mean, it's, you know, here's the thing is that I think...
What did the guy say?
I don't have it.
But what was it?
I don't know. I don't remember.
What kind of thing was it?
I don't know.
You remember.
Was it about sustenance or something?
No. What was it about?
I can't remember.
Yeah, you can.
I think it was like eating cum or something.
Where?
I don't recall.
Ari's dad is a
father
and
marathon.
He survived
the Holocaust.
Why are you saying all this stuff about that?
I'm not saying any of this. Anyway, it's what's interesting is I think is that in a weird time like that, like I don't know. This sounds crazy. I've always had this feeling whenever there's like a public tragedy, like 9/11 or a hurricane or the passing of like Kobe Bryant. I really feel like all of a sudden the world gets smaller and everyone gets closer.
It is. It's weird.
And I think what happened was, in a moment where everyone, especially in this city, was coming together, everyone saw that was it was such a sniper action.
Yeah.
Like it was such a like a out of left field approach. By the way, I would say, and I'm going to say this out loud, so if Ari hears this, he may want to clean up his timeline. This was not the worst of those tweets that I've seen
from him.
Oh,
it's just the most iconic famous.
It's the most iconic famous person, but his Aretha Franklin one was pretty aggressive. God damn it! Why do I have alarms going off? The one from the guy, I'm a fire watcher. Who's a fire starter? Who's a fire? That rave guy died.
Uh-huh.
Oh, and so I mean, and by the way, for the record, it's not my sense of humor, so I never really laughed at them. I was always like, what the fuck?
I think that's how most people read them.
I think that's I don't think anyone.
No, I know. Every time I caught one, I was like, Jesus Christ. And he's like, great, right? I'm like, I guess. I mean, like,
you saw me kick that kid, right? I beat the shit out of that baby.
Yeah, no, I mean, the fucked up thing about the whole thing is that, like, I totally understand people's anger towards him. Like, it absolutely makes sense why they would be so angry about it, because they're hurting and they're seeing somebody would seemingly celebrate a tragedy. The fucked up thing is that when you know the guy who's doing this, you're like, yeah, you're not really this guy though. Like, you're a nicer guy. No, but I mean,
he
like,
drug me in front of my kids.
But that was great. But I'm saying that I'm saying that like he's not his public persona of like this
is different than who he is.
You know, we know a more complex.
That's what made
person.
It so complicated for me to forgive him, because I was like, here's a guy that I've gone skiing with, been on snow, like done so many fun things and had so many really thoughtful conversations that
but it's not just that. It's that here's the other part of it. He's also reluctant to show those sides of him, I think, to publicly.
Yeah, I don't know why.
I don't know why either.
He was definitely not showing him any now. I think he's going to lean into the.
I hope not.
I hope not.
Because he actually is, like, I've had, thoughtful conversations with him where, like, what I walk away from being like, that guy's, like, my thought is, what a kind, empathetic mm-hmm. person. But I feel like he's reluctant to show that for whatever reason.
Yeah.
I don't know why, and I'm not defending that. Like, I don't think it was wise in any way or funny or any of that to write that. I thought it was the worst thing that could have happened. But I just feel like it's not indicative necessarily of who he is.
I don't think so. I don't. I think there, you know, anything we say positive sounds like we're trying to defend him.
I know, which is why I keep going. Like, I'm not trying to say that you shouldn't be upset, or that you can write whatever you want and tweet whatever you want and say whatever you want, but the whole thing became even sadder to me, because I was so bummed out by the tragedy. I was so bummed out when I made the choice to like look at his social media.
I was
like, go to Kobe's social media, go to Vanessa's, and see the fan. You see like this beautiful happy family, which made me more sad. And then to on top of all that, just like a tragedy happening, to have somebody you know be the target of, you know what I mean, like it was like good versus evil. It felt like it was so, like,
someone you really know be vilified by the country.
Yeah,
not just and by the way, not in a way that you gotta be like, oh, I know, right?
Yeah, no.
It's like, do you remember? You know what? There was a fighter. I forget the guy's name. There's a fighter named War Machine who beat up Christy Mack and sent her to the hospital, right?
And he beat the fuck out of the guy.
Beat the fuck out of the guy and beat the fuck out of her. And there was a guy, I can't remember his name, but he went to the hearing, and he was a fighter also, and went to the hearing to support his friend War Machine, and everyone came after him. And he went, listen, man, I don't support what he did, but I would lie if I say he wasn't my friend for fucking 15 years.
Right.
And I don't have a lot of friends, and I don't not going to turn my back on any of my friends at any given time.
Damn.
It was a really interesting. I wish I knew who that was, because he's like a legit fighter, like someone we all know. And And I thought that was interesting. I was like, man, way to, you, he really fucking put his head out there, put his neck out there to, and he didn't need to. He could have just not shown up the way everyone else did.
Yeah.
I'm definitely not going to do that for Ari, but the.
One thing we know for sure is there will be some epic tweets written when Ari dies.
There'll be some amazing tweets. Oh, man.
Ari is.
We should start drafting him now.
Yeah, no shit. Jesus Christ. No, that's. Yeah, that's. Well, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever. So you had a heart attack last night.
Heart attack last night. Bounced back this morning. Feel good.
Yeah.
So heart attack's not as bad as you think.
And you ran today.
And I ran this morning, got in the sauna. I feel amazing, man. I've been doing sauna polar plunge every day.
Yeah.
I fucking love it.
So sauna gets up to what?
Mine only gets up to like 150. Joe's gets up to 210.
That's really crazy.
I think you boil it 210.
I like, you don't like steam?
No, I can't stand. Well, it fucks my lungs up. I have soft lungs. I have settler's lungs.
Settler's lungs?
That's when we were talking about superior DNA that... Latinos, that's why J-Lo and Shakira look so great.
God, they look
and they're,
good.
And they're so, like, dude, they were flipping J-Lo around.
Yeah.
My wife's turning 50.
Yeah.
Can you imagine Leanne getting flipped upside down by a dancer?
What do you think would happen?
Ow, my back, my hip, ow, and then drop her. She has no core strength. J-Lo got flipped upside down, flipped back around, was on a dude's shoulder. She's fucking 50.
Yeah.
And so we were saying,
who would you fill up and seal shut? First, J-Lo or Shakira?
J-Lo.
Really?
J-Lo. J-Lo. In a heartbeat.
Really?
I would contemplate leaving my wife for J-Lo.
I think dirtier things have been done to Shakira.
Do you realize what Shakira, did you see the way her hips move?
Yeah, I paid attention.
I mean, she could. I can last sexually 5 minutes with a white woman, with Shakira, a minute and a half.
Oh, I think that's actually pretty long.
Look at
how old is Shakira?
43. Dude, J-Lo was so fucking hot last night. What were we saying right before this? Why do we? Oh, so the steam sauna. So. I was saying Latinos have superior DNA that you guys, and you said, yeah, all your bad traits come from your dad.
For sure.
I have settler's DNA.
Mm-hmm.
So like I've got the kind of DNA where I show up and I'm like, it's humid in this jungle. My lungs are starting to fill
right.
with water.
Real white guy shit.
Real white guy shit.
Yeah.
My teeth, I can't bite the sticks the way you guys do. How do you get the sugar out of them? Like you got settler's teeth. You got indigenous teeth. Uh-huh. I have settler's teeth.
Right, right. So you say I have indigenous teeth. How long do you do in the 150 or whatever? How long do you sit in the sauna?
30 minutes.
30 minutes?
Did 30 minutes today.
This sounds like just a warm room.
It is. It's not that hot. It's not that hot.
And then you just, from there, but you're cooking.
It's infrared, so it goes, so the difference is a sauna with a heating element heats the air, and then the air heats your skin, and that's how you get hot.
Yeah.
This is heaters that heat your body and get your core temperature dropped or higher. So it actually goes into the muscles. It actually, in my opinion, makes my back feel better. I get out and my back doesn't hurt at all.
And then you go immediately to the
polar plunge immediately.
Right what is in. That? A bucket of ice?
Bucket of ice. It's got to be, I would argue it's below 32 degrees.
And how long do you sit in that for?
A minute, as long as I can do it.
And then you get out and you go back in?
I go back to the sauna to get my temperature back down. And then I'll sit in there until...
Up.
And then I'll sit in there as long as I can until I start sweating. But it's...
Then you do another
enough,
plunge?
And then I do one more plunge.
And then you're done.
And then I'm done. I feel so good.
I believe you.
I think... And this is my theory, okay?
Yeah.
I think it takes all... There's no science to this. When you party, your blood gets dirt in it, okay? And now that dirt can only be cleaned out by your organs. So what this does is it basically takes, it's just like a three big wave set. Like, so when you go in the thing, in the sauna, all the blood goes to the outside of your skin to help cool your skin down, right?
Yeah, yeah.
When you, and you let it sit there and it's just going out and out and out and out and out, reducing inflammation or maybe creating it, I don't know. And then you get into the polar plunge and all that blood rushes into your organs. So it's like a flush. That's what I believe is happening, is you're flushing and cleaning your blood. Because I will go in hungover, like going like, man, I'm not feeling good. I come out.
It seems like,
I feel amazing.
The way you say it, it's like you're regularly hungover though.
Right now.
Yeah.
Right now. It's been the first beginning of the tour was
pretty heavy.
Pretty party. Yeah. Yeah. Leanne was with me and she was just like,
yeah, I always do this.
Yeah. Wait, can I tell the funniest fucking story?
Yeah, sure.
This is the funny. Nadav, you have not heard this, right? I don't know what you're going to say. So we're getting ready to take off and Leanne gets a text from Christina.
Oh, yeah.
Have you guys talked about it yet?
I don't remember. No, I don't think so.
It's the. I'm by the way, I'm doing this as a bit on stage. So if you're hearing this now, you're also going to hear it this weekend in San Jose, Sacramento, and Bakersfield. It was the fun. It was pure comedy. Leanne gets a text from Push right before we take off, and you can't get service on the airplanes before you take off. And it says from KCAL 9, there has been a coronavirus outbreak. Yeah, I posted it on my thing. There's been a corona. It's got to go for a while. We got to put a lot of retweets in there. Go up. Right there. KTLA 5 News. Officials have confirmed multiple cases of coronavirus within the West LA and Woodland Hills community. Check to follow updates. And there's a link and it says spread the news. And Christina, Tom's wife, sends it to along and Leanne can't open it. And she goes, oh my God. And then Push says, hey, this is so close to the girl's school. I'm so concerned. And Leanne's like, I know, right? And Push is like, you should definitely read the link. And Leanne's like, I will. Ooh, so scary. Ugh.
Yeah.
And then Leanne cuts it before we can leave and just paste it to a text and to 20 moms. 20 moms that not all that she knows very well. And sends it to Georgia and Isla.
To your, 15 and...
13-year-old daughter.
Okay.
We fly. Don't even think about it. Wi-Fi clicks on. Text sends. Don't think about it. Land. Turns on her phone. Oh, my God. Something must have happened. I said, why? She goes, I have, 25 texts. When you click the link... It shows what could only be regarded as like a baseball size of a cock.
Yeah.
It is a black man. It is a black man who's probably 250 pounds.
Maybe 275.
275 with that dick. And he's sitting like this, dick uncircumcised.
Edge of the bed.
But this is a dick you'd have to choke up on if you're gonna suck it.
Well, you'd have to double hand it.
You might even have to have a friend hold a piece of it.
Yeah. And you'd have to really stretch. You couldn't just go like, I'm just gonna put it on. You'd have to go like, oh, ha, like that, and then you'd spit on it first.
Some people may have to work the left side of the helmet, then the right side of the helmet.
Yeah.
It's the biggest. It is the most aggressive cock you'll ever see in your life.
Yeah.
And the way he's sitting, he's presenting it to you.
Yeah. And he's like, he has an expression that says, this ain't shit to me. I've had this on me my whole life, but I know what's going through your mind right now.
What does his tattoo say? His dick is, it's almost like you walked in the room and he goes, someone order Batman?
Oh, man. Can you read that?
Oh, it's his kids' names. Big... Wood,
Lil Whitey.
She sends that to everyone, and then she goes, "Wow, this coronavirus thing is really bad." Everyone is replying. I guess everyone knows about this. Oh my God, how scary! And she starts reading the text, and she goes, "That's what." What's her name said? How scary. And then another one goes, another one says, I hope that doesn't hit my house. And then another one says, are you sure it's a coronavirus? I had this in college. Another one says, getting my girls inoculated immediately. And then Leanne hits the link on the plane and goes, oh my God, I just sent this to the whole softball team. Oh my God. Oh my God. I sent this to our girls. Calls Georgia. Georgia is howling laughing. Mom, did you know what you sent to everyone? And she goes, honey, I just landed. Did you open it? She goes, oh yeah, I opened it. She goes, don't worry, I closed it quickly. And so she goes, oh my God, oh my God, I am so sorry. And Georgia's like, it's fine, Mom. It's funny that you didn't read it. You just sent it. And then she goes, did your sister read it? And she goes, I don't know. She goes, Isla, puts Isla on the phone. Leanne goes, Isla, honey, I sent a text. Did you click the link? And Isla goes, yeah, interesting article, and just left. You know when you get so excited about something,
yeah,
you can't stop shaking. You're like, oh my God, oh my God. And then I got on stage that night and I told it. And then I have another a joke about them seeing my dick. So we'll see that.
Oh, yeah. They saw your dick?
My asshole, my dick.
They saw your asshole and your dick?
It was really uncomfortable.
Your girls did?
Yeah. Recently, very recently.
How'd they see it?
That's part of the bit. That's why you got to come out. San Jose, Sacramento, and Bakersfield. Followed by Evansville, Indianapolis, Louisville, and three shows at the Chevalier.
Boom.
Is that it?
That's it. You finished it.
What about this?
That's for later.
Okay. Chinese New Year's.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it was the fucking greatest time I've ever
had. So what prompted you to have a Chinese New Year celebration?
I'm a big person. I believe in luck. Mm-hmm. I believe in luck more than I believe in talent. I believe in luck more than I believe in hard work. I believe in luck more than I believe in hard work.
Well, actually, there is a definite, like, a reason to believe that in entertainment.
Yeah.
Because there is a good a bit.
I'm a huge fan of Kevin Hart's. He makes me laugh so fucking much. Mm-hmm. But one of the things, and he works harder than a lot of people.
Yeah.
But one of the things that it's hard to sell hard work in comedy. Like,
I agree.
Like when you hear, and I hope if Kevin ever heard this, he wouldn't see this as shitty, but like you can tell people to work as hard as they want. And Kevin works really hard, but there's also a lot of guys that work really hard that don't have a lot of talent, but they work really hard. That doesn't get them anywhere. And there's also a lot of guys that are really talented and do work hard, but they didn't get the one thing. They didn't capitalize on that one thing. They didn't get lucky that one time. Yeah. Kevin had a lot of big breaks and then breaks that didn't go anywhere. But it was like the one, it was the just lining up of like, and I'll say this, and once again, I hope it doesn't upset him, but the fact that YouTube showed up when his special showed up and he murdered that special, but someone just went and sprayed it all over YouTube. So if you were looking for stand-up, you saw Kevin Hart on a beautifully shot, amazing special all over YouTube. That kind of helped blow him up. I'm not discounting the fact that Kevin every night would put out fucking things on the tables, get everyone's email, go home, write those emails. I'm not discounting that. I'm not discounting all the hard work he did, writing that material, performing that material, touring. I'm not discounting that. But there's got to be, I believe in luck, hardcore.
Okay.
I believe every comic gets, this is crazy. People will get upset by this. I believe every comic gets a one lucky break. That if they're talented, mm-hmm, and they've got a body of work to support it, it can blow them up to the
next
level.
What do you think
level.
Your break was?
Machine Story.
The story.
Machine Story going viral was my break. And then I think, and then Netflix was like, well, fuck, let's do a special. And I was an accomplished comedian. But if it wasn't for that, the fact that I posted it on December 27th, and that, being serious about this, and that, Christmas was on like a Thursday and New Year's Eve was on a Wednesday. And so people had a really long period of time off and everyone was getting electronics at that time. Facebook was at its height. And this girl from my class goes on and puts one of the top comments where I was in Bert's class. This story is 100% true. He fucking robbed us. If she hadn't been online at the right time,
right,
I'd post that story so many times and it never went viral. But then all these things, all the planets aligned. And it goes viral. Bill Burr. And look, Bill Burr is amazingly talented. That one Philly rant.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, everyone's like, who the fuck is this guy? And then.
So you're saying that's like the moment.
That's the moment. Yeah. The launch. And then everyone's like, what the fuck?
Right.
And then you go and research Bill and you're like, oh, this guy's amazing.
So you call
Jim
those,
Jeffries. Yeah. Punched in the head. He gets punched in the head. His manager grabs that video, puts it on MySpace. All of a sudden, everyone's like, who the fuck is this guy? And then you see full hours he's done at Edinburgh where he's destroyed, and you're like, oh my God, this might be my new favorite comic. You got to have those one, that one. You're the only one that doesn't have one.
So you're the, so you're,
I don't know yours. Yours, honestly, your lucky break might be you were doing specials at a time when no one was betting on Netflix, and you did a special, and Bill Burr did one before you, and all of a sudden, everyone's like, I remember everyone saw that special. That first, Mostly Stories?
No, Completely Normal.
Completely Normal.
Yep.
Everyone saw this special.
No, but the luck was that Comedy Central turned me down.
Yeah.
That was the luck.
Yeah, everyone wanted a Comedy Central special.
I tried to get it.
No one wanted it.
And they
no
said,
one wanted a Netflix special.
They came out to see the show, and they're like, it's a funny show, but we don't know what the theme is. And I'm like, we need themes. And I was like, how about like funny material? And they were like,
Doesn't work.
They're like, we want like, you know, something that you can be like, the theme is like, you know, it's more like one track. Like, you know what I mean? Like single person struggling with this, to find their place in the world. And I'm like, yeah, no, it's just a random collection of bits. Like that's how I approach it.
Yeah.
And they were like, yeah, that's not. So when they turned me down, that was considered like a real gut punch because we shot it on spec. And then
you'd already shot it.
We already shot it.
They saw it.
They saw it live. And then we were hoping that like seeing it would, prompt them to acquire it. And they were like, nah. And then I got like a consolation. They're like, look, man, it's funny when you say it now because of what it is now.
But no one, by the way, no, you got on, this sounds crazy, but no one considered Netflix an option at all.
Well, it was considered like a weird online, like it was 2013. So in 2013, I got the call from my manager and he was like, look, I mean, you know, Netflix, they said they would acquire it. And, you know, that's cool, man. They're growing. You know, there's like this many subscribers. And I was like, whatever. And then I was like, he's like, you know, Comedy Central passed and, you know, I think Showtime passed or whatever. All the other, they're like, that's cool. I mean, it'll be there. And, you know, Burr has one there. So they kind of do the thing like, he's great. You want yours where his is, right? And you're like, yeah, no, that is cool. I was like, that is cool.
Yeah. Dude, but that thing blew you up.
I mean, that helped. That helped a
changed.
Lot.
Changed,
yeah.
And then,
yeah.
but so I'm a firm believer.
So that's
luck.
The luck, though.
I want Kevin to be.
All,
I say this, but,
all of this though is supposed to take us to Chinese New Year.
Yeah. Okay. I just want Kevin one time to talk about all his luck. That's what, like one time I don't want to hear about hard work. I want to hear about lucky breaks.
You know what's funny? You say that because I wasn't really thinking about it, and I kind of, I mean, I know what you're saying. But Rogan, one time we were talking about something and he goes, I'm a very lucky guy.
Really?
Yeah.
Cause he's like, I put him down as one of those hard workers. I will tell
he
you,
he is a hard worker.
I will tell you Rogan's luck.
Well, he thinks he listed it. He was
what
like,
was it?
Well, he was like, you know, I came out here and you know, he got on that sitcom. He's like, he was like, that was luck. I mean, I'm saying from his mouth.
Yeah, I don't see that. I mean, I see that as sitcoms, or you could see it as luck, but I always see that. I always
booking a role.
Booking a role, I see as talent.
Oh, I think there's a lot of luck involved.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
For sure. That was luck. I think it wasn't lucky that he got the call, I think, to host Fear Factor. It was that Fear Factor became this kind of phenomena hit. That was the luck.
Yeah,
the luck isn't
that.
Like.
Yeah.
Getting it like he was
yeah
like,
I can see that you go I just did not see that coming
so that's
I think
lucky.
What I think one of the things and I think this is a combination of luck and of like personal constitution
mm-hmm.
was and I no one sees this as luck but that Carlos Mencia thing him going up and going like for whatever it is in his personality where he goes no I'm standing up for the right thing and then the fact that Brian was there and caught it and had that video.
Right.
And posted it. That nailed the fact that Joe was on the right side of comedy forever. And
right.
All of a sudden, like, I mean, that one video.
That is still so, like, it's so like a thing that we know.
Yeah.
That it, like, when someone brings it up, I'm just like, it doesn't affect me in any way. But if I dial into thinking about it, I go, that is so crazy. That at the time, too, that's the other thing that you forget. People forget how big of a name Carlos was at the time.
He was the biggest.
He was like that show was huge.
Monumencia was fucking humongous.
Yeah, and he was doing nothing but theaters all over the country.
He was the biggest name in comedy.
Yeah, pretty big, man.
And then and for Joe to go up against him was like insane. Another thing of luck was the fact that Joe ran into Redman. That's just, and the fact that they clicked together.
That's luck too.
And that's luck that a friendship formed. And then because, you know, one of the things Joe had was he was always, his mind has always been curious, gadget wise, like technology wise.
Yeah.
He's always one step curious above everyone else.
Yeah.
But to have someone like Brian who can, who's also curious
and knows
how to apply it.
Yeah.
And that fucking, but anyway, back to Chinese New Year's.
Yeah.
Anytime I can find any event that celebrates luck, I am New Year's. On New Year's, we cook black eyed peas, collard greens, pork. Because they're all luck for the redneck fan tradition.
Yeah.
But collard greens brings money. Black eyed peas brings fortune, but like luck.
Mm-hmm. I just want to tell you real quick, I greatly resent the idea that luck has anything to do with success. Keep going.
Oh, I am hardcore. The fact that you knew Charlie, that's how we met.
Yeah.
Come on.
I mean, that's just like life, though. That's just circum. You know what I mean? That things. But I mean,
I you looked up to me and you were like. So Chinese.
I did.
So Chinese New Year's is our friends, Thomas Sandy, or Sandy's Chinese, and they do Chinese New Year's. And Chinese New Year's, you dress all in red. You get fresh ones, and you give. And this is how you get. Give luck to the kids as you get, you give them fresh ones, and then you get luck in return, right? Mm-hmm. And then you, in $2 bills, you put them on a tree and all the kid picks. And so I go in, I got $1,000. I went around looking for fresh ones on New Year's Day. I went to my bank and they were like, I could do fresh ones. No one has fresh ones on Chinese New Year's. Chinese people clean them out, right? And they're like, yeah, in Woodland Hills, they go, yeah, we got fresh ones. And I go, how many? And they go, how many do you want? I said, how many you got? She goes, I got 1,000. I go, I'll take them. I was like, I want them all, right? So I got $1,000 in fresh ones.
This is at the at your bank?
Yeah.
Okay.
And Leanne's fucking livid.
Why?
Because she knows that I am not leaving this party with $1,000 in fresh ones. So I go in with $1,000 in fresh ones. I break it up in like $30 chunks, put them in envelopes for the kids. I get 15 kids. I give every kid like 30, 20, 35 bucks. And then another part of Chinese New Year's is gambling. Mm-hmm. So we have this game called Spoons. So you ever played Spoons?
Mm-mm.
Everyone gets 4 cards. You got to make 4 of a kind. Everyone gets 4 cards. There's 10 kids at the table. If there's 10 kids at the table, there are 9 spoons, okay? They start passing around one card, and it goes, and people pass one card around. You can take it or discard it.
Yeah.
And you want to get 4 of a kind. And as soon as you get 4 of a kind, you grab a spoon. As soon as someone grabs a spoon, everyone else grabs a spoon. The one person's out, pulls it out. Next round, you remove a spoon until you get it one-on-one.
Yeah.
It is intense. And to make it more intense, I'm putting $100 in the center of fresh ones for these kids. And there's like 15 kids. And we go, all right, first round, it's going to be a smooth $50. And the kids are like really into it. Then play that video right there. Then I put $150 down. And this is what happened. This is my friend's daughter. By the way, Sandy is the one in red, right? That's Isla next to everyone's wearing red.
So wait, what's happening?
She gets nothing, and then bam, bitch.
Oh my god!
And they're like, hey, stop.
She beat the. It was fucking hilarious, Tom. She grabbed the spoon, and the other girl grabbed it, and then she just took her hand with her cards and just started going like this. Wham, 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 wham.
Wait,
wham.
But when you play this, though, because I don't understand the game, are you supposed to like, is it a race to grab that?
Yeah.
Oh, it is.
Watch. See, that person grabs it, and now they got to grab the spoon.
Oh, my God.
And then look at her mom. Look at Sandy's look on Sandy's face. She goes, huh.
She wanted that money.
Watch the look at Sandy's face.
Whoa.
Watch Sandy. But the best is Kylie just goes like this. What?
What?
We go for the spoon, right?
Yeah.
Fucking.
But here's why I resent that the stupidity of saying that luck.
Okay.
Because like, for instance, if you take yourself, yeah, there's luck in like the moment that something was posted and all that. But like that diminishes the importance of the talent that that got you there and the work that you put into it.
Okay,
so
how many people...
You work so much. You put so much work. You have natural talent. You put that work into your natural talent. And then what happens is losers get to go, well, what happened is that he got lucky.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's not what happened.
Yeah,
what happened is that you're a fucking loser, and that's why things didn't work out for you. And then he's a hardworking, talented guy, and that's why good things happened to him. End of discussion.
Is that so, like the same guy who goes, I figured, you know, hey, fuck, if Tom could do it, I could do it.
Look, that's fine. I mean,
would you remember that? Were we somewhere and we were coming back from a trip and someone's like, figured if Tom could do it, I could do it. And you're like, hey, man, I also have become an extremely successful comedian. There's a lot of shit I've done that you can't do, motherfucker.
Who said that?
I don't know. I think it was when we were in San Francisco and we were reading texts back to each other.
Yeah.
Some guy's like, you know, man, I saw you lose some weight and I figured, fuck, if Tom could do it, I could do it. Yeah. And you were like, I've done a lot of shit you could never fucking do.
That was in my last hour.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, my last hour. Because a lot of people were saying that to me. They were like, they're like, you lost all this weight, man. I was like, if you can do it, I can do it. And I was like, look what I'm doing right now. You can't do this. But no, I mean, look, I think, you know, that's obviously like a smart ass joke. But
how many people have succeeded where you go, they're actually not talented at all?
Yeah, of course.
And that's just luck.
Okay. So luck has
so much to do with it. I would love to hear every comic talk about their dimes where it was just luck.
Yeah, but I'm saying you saying that yours is luck.
Oh, I'm an amazingly talented, hardworking comedian. But I think.
But the more you speak, the more I want to say it's luck.
Don't you think it's luck sometimes when you just a joke will just slide into your head?
And of course, but
you don't even know where it came from, and you drop a fucking. When we were watching the Super Bowl last night.
But I don't know if that's. I know what you're about to say. I think, but like. Do you call it luck every time you say something really funny?
Yeah, well, like, I don't know where this came from. We were watching the Super Bowl last night. J-Lo came in, and she had one leg to the side and one leg open, showing her vagina, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And I'm in a room of, like, 25 people, children in there, and I go, ladies and gentlemen, vajay-lo. And the room falls out laughing, and I go, I don't know where that came from. Like, yeah. I thought of it so fast.
Yeah.
And I go, I can't say that that's a...
You thought of the same joke a fifth grader thought of, and you're like, I'm very
By the way, I looked on Twitter. I was the first person to write that joke. Vajay-lo.
Vajay-lo.
Because her vagina was showing. And then, but it's like...
I love that's your example.
I didn't mean that to be my example.
Top tier
joke writing. No, but like the idea that sometimes you're so quick as a comic that things will.
But that's who you are. You're a funny person. You think of funny things. So, yeah. I mean, every time one happens. Yeah, I think the thing happens that you feel like you get a rush when that happens, right? Yeah. It's like this great. That's why you keep doing it. But yeah. I mean, is it luck? I don't know. I guess. But it's
Rolling
also
Stone
just.
Rolling Stone discovered me in 1997. Wrote an article about me calling the number one party.
I would say that.
Is luck.
Yeah. But it's also luck that they didn't go to write the article about you. They went to write the article about the school.
Yeah.
And they're like, this is Florida State's the party school. And that they happened to like see you and they're like, this guy seems R-worded. Let's...
is that the politically correct way to say it?
Yeah. You know what people are saying now that we can start using? Retalked.
What's that?
Like... Like when someone's on TikTok, you know, like retalked.
So
it's
when
a substitute.
Oh, so when they're not good, they're retalked.
You just say retalked.
Retalked.
Yeah, it's a PC friendly word.
We went around the room to the kids,
or you can just say someone's TikToked.
We went around the room to the kids last night mm-hmm. and asked them what parents they thought had said the N-word. And if they had ever said the N-word.
You asked the kids?
We said, do you think Kathy's ever said the N-word? They're like, no way. I'm like, do you think Leanne is? And they're like, yeah. They're like, wait, do you think Steven
they're
has?
They're like, she grew up in Georgia.
She didn't wear shoes until third grade.
Yeah.
And then we said to the girls, I said. And
they're like, how about Bert? And you're like, today?
Isla said he sang it in the car driving over here. I said to Isla, it's like a real white knuckle moment. I said, have you ever said the N-word? And she went, no. I said, are you sure? She goes, I swear I haven't. Some kids in my school were trying to get me to say it, and I wouldn't say it. And I was like, oh.
But I put those beaners in their place.
And I go. She said, I was going to wait until one walked by. And then Georgia said she'd never said it. And I was like, and I believe that. And I was like, oh, they got clean records. Then one of my friends, I won't say his name. One of my friends goes, I have a clean record. I've never said it. And I went, bullshit. He said it in front of three black guys at a bar one night. He got it. And he goes, and he, by the way, he had no recollection of saying it. As soon as I brought it up, he went, oh, you're right. I did say it then. I did say it then. I go, and you're saying you had a clean record. And then the next night, defending himself, he said it four more times.
Why say it at the bar with the guys?
He was reading something, and it had with an A at the end, and he just said it to them. But he had already said to these three guys, I've never said the N-word. I've never said it. I have a clean record.
And was that time
Omar Dorsey goes, Omar Dorsey goes, bullshit. And I go, you think he's ever said it? And he goes, 100% he said it. I go, hold on.
He was at the party?
No, he was at the bar with me. It was me, Omar Dorsey, and Tone Bell, and someone else. And they were both like, no, man, look, no white guy can say he's got a clean record. No white guy's got a clean record. I had to have Omar come over and read a section of my book because I wrote the N-word in my book.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't put it on record. I go, yeah. Omar, can you come over and just say this word for me?
We can send you files if you need them.
So this guy I'm with at the bar says, yeah. No, I have a clean record. I swear to God. And then, within a matter of seconds, reads something, and the N-word's in it, and says it to them. And Omar goes, you just said it. And he was like, oh, no, I read it. And he went, no, you said it. Oh, it was fucking hilarious.
That's what happened to that Netflix executive who got fired.
There's a big epidemic of executives saying the word.
Well, this guy, he was talking about me. And
are you serious?
Yeah, because he was talking about my controversy.
Oh, yeah.
In disgraceful about R word. And
that's even worse.
So he was talking about that, and in a meeting made the analogy. He was like, that affects people, you know, families hear that. And then he goes, it's like hearing the, but he just said it in a meeting, in a corporate meeting. But he's making the comparison.
Yeah.
And when the meeting was over,
people, they must have wanted to fire him.
Well, when the meeting was over, they went to HR and they complained that he said it, even in the context of how he said it. So when they brought him in to talk about it, he said it again, but like making reference to it. He's like, the reason I said, and that he
did it again.
And they were like, he's fucking saying it again to us. And they fired him. It was pretty, you think there's an executive.
I was with two, I won't say that their names because then
say N-words.
No. I won't say their names because then you'll be able to figure out what show it is and what the executive is, I'm sure.
Oh.
But I was with two black celebrities and they were like, man, white execs will get way too comfortable around you, and they'll just drop it, and they'll be like, "Yo, man."
Did you see that Dick Cavett Eddie Murphy thing?
Uh-uh.
Dude, I saw that on Instagram, and you're like, "What?" And like, it's old, so it's a totally different time. You know, it's in the '80s.
Yeah.
But Dick Cavett asked him, and he's like saying it all like, "Yeah." Like that, and Eddie Murphy's like, why are you saying it like this right now? And you could tell, you can totally read Eddie Murphy's body language, and he's so skilled that he does, like, he's able to like make jokes and make fun of Dick Cavett, but it's like that, like he's like, you know, I'm cool, like Dick Cavett's like, you know, we're buddies, and you can see Eddie Murphy just being like, what are you doing right now? But he just leans into it hard, like really leans into it.
I was telling someone about the M-word, and I said, my friend says it a lot.
It's almost like it's in your head all the time.
No. And I said, no, I was telling someone, and I said, my friend says it a lot, and they thought I was talking about you. And I was talking about Donnell.
Oh.
I go, he uses it non-fucking stop. Like, to the point where you're like, do you know any other words? And they're like, and I was like, yeah. And they're like, is this Tom? And I went, no. I go, it's Donnell Rollins. And then I go, oh, you thought I was talking about a white person? I was like, yeah, I don't know any white people that use it aggressively. I just black dudes. Donnell's
counter's got to be in the millions. Like if you had like a running, yeah.
Did you see that video he did with Chappelle?
Which one?
The one he did where they're talking about Wu-Tang Clan. Mm-mm. Donnell's fucking hilarious.
Wait, like are they doing radio?
Even know what they're doing. They're promoting a Wu-Tang Clan show in New York. And Donnell's like, yo, come on, son. Right behind Chappelle. Chappelle just lists off all the who's this fucking Sarface?
Sarface?
Dude, that is I love that song. And I can't get past the fact that he says your name in it.
Yeah, I know.
I love that song. Who is that? That's Inspector Deck?
Yeah, Esoteric. And 7L is the producer, yeah.
And Esoteric's from with all those guys that Rogan had on the podcast, right?
The Rogan had on the podcast?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
No, yeah. Back in the day.
He's put out a ton of stuff.
Oh, what was the name of that fucking band? Anyway, that song is so good.
The whole album is.
Dude, how about Eminem's album? Have you listened to Eminem's song he did with Ed Sheeran?
No.
Dude, it is fucking amazing. All right, let's do this mid-roll. You ready?
Yeah.
Let's find out where this heart attack is. Hey, what's up?
Hey, Bert. Hi, I've got Reg for you.
Great. We're going to find out where this heart attack is bouncing.
One moment. Hello.
Hey, where's our heart attack?
I told him no comment, and this reporter kept insisting, listen, if you don't work with us, you know that other outlets won't be as respectful and won't want to work with you on how this is released.
By the way, you're on my Two Bears One Cave podcast right now.
Oh, I needed to know that beforehand, but okay.
Okay, sorry. But no. We haven't released it. We can edit you out. Should we edit it out?
No, I mean, it's up to you. I'm fine with it.
I'm fine with it too. So wait, what do you mean be respectful? But this fat fuck had a heart attack or?
No, well, he's like, if they want to get the story, if it's true, so he's trying to threaten me that, listen, if another, you know, website or other news outlet gets word of it, they're not going to work with us to present it in the best way possible.
Okay, well, considering I didn't have a heart attack, I don't think we have anything to be concerned
about.
Hey,
Reg.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Tom. Is there any, you think I should do like a tweet like, hey, I saw Bert, he's recovering, and send him your best, like that kind of thing to get it going?
No comment. Do whatever you guys want to do. I was just thrilled that Bert was picked up his phone and was in a sauna when I called him after I spoke to the reporter.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to. I just want the texts of everyone saying they love me and they hope I get better. That's all.
I think if Bert, if you send out a text like, wow, last night was crazy. So glad to
be alive.
Be home.
Last night was an intense night. At home recovering. Thank you, everyone, for your well wishing.
Triple bypass is no joke.
The last one might be a little too leading, but yeah, that it's yeah, whatever you want to do.
What if I type? Hey, what if I post that Super Bowl game was ow, my arm's going numb. By the way, I better not have a fucking... today I was like in the sauna. I was doing polar plunge. I was like, what if I have a heart attack right now?
How could you have a heart attack?
All right. I'll call you later, okay?
All right.
Bye. You know...
I know. We have all these jokes and then it's like, oh, 46, 47 years.
By the way,
guy.
When I do have a heart attack, TMZ's going to light me up. Yeah. And they're going to be like, fucking fat fuck comedian Bert Kreischer had a heart attack. Maybe you shouldn't have fucked with karma, asshole.
We just wanted confirmation.
Why would they? I don't understand. I don't it's such a weird job that you get excited if someone had a heart attack.
I'd be surprised. I'm surprised that they get confirmation on half the things they run. You know what I mean? Like they run shit constantly.
By the way, I don't mind TMZ. Like I like TMZ. I get a lot of my news from TMZ.
Really?
Yeah. Like they're the fuck. They break everything, dude.
I get a lot of my news. That's a quote of the year.
They drop.
Bert.
They drop it. They drop everything immediately.
Right.
They do not stutter step at all. Today I thought actually, what's his name? Harvey Levin. Is that his name?
I don't remember.
Harvey Levin. when because I think everyone's trying to boycott them over the Kobe tweet because they broke Kobe before
yeah.
anyone.
Yeah.
You can see, I bet that guy Harvey Levin's like, I don't give a fuck. It's news.
I'm sure he doesn't give a fuck.
I'm certain he doesn't give a fuck.
But they, I mean, yeah, they, I think people.
I want to stay just out of the fame level where TMZ catches me falling out of a bar drunk.
I think they're going to have their eyes on you now.
Oh God, I hope not. Bert, I'm getting off an airplane. What are your thoughts on reparations? Oh, come on, guys. You know that that's a joke between me and Tom. And they're like, no, yeah, of course
Bert,
it is. But
why do you deny Japanese internment camps during World War II? And you're like, well, I don't even know what that is.
What are you talking about? I love fucking Japanese people. And it comes out, headline, Bert loves fucking Japanese people. God, I'm fucking, maybe I should just learn how to speak Spanish and do a tour in South America.
Trying to.
I love that people are like, online, got tickets for Tom's show, didn't know it was in fucking Spanish.
I got, I did a small one here like a week ago in Spanish in Burbank. And in the fucking first minute I get on stage, start talking in Spanish, like, where are you from? The guy's like, Long Beach. And I was like, do you speak Spanish? And he's like, nah. And I turn to a lady that looks like my mother, and I'm like, I ask her, and she's like, I also got the information wrong. And I'm like, all right. I go, why are we doing this?
I also got the information wrong.
And I'm like, why are we doing this? And I go, do you want to leave? She goes, nah, I'm here.
You're telling me a woman sat through a comedy show for
an hour? She was like 65.
She could not understand
anything. Anything.
I also got the information wrong.
Yeah.
Oh.
She was laughing. And then, like, it became the joke.
Oh, my God. Did you do jokes in Spanish and English?
Yeah, I would do jokes in Spanish, and then I would turn to her and I'd give her a summary. I'd be like, it was about being fat. And then I'd just, like, turn away.
She's like, I know Gordo.
Yeah. She's like, she goes, I know a couple things. And we were like, no, you don't.
Oh, what are your ticket prices for Columbus?
For Columbus.
Yeah, you doing Columbus Funny Bone?
No.
Oh, everyone just got tickets.
Dayton.
Oh, is it Dayton?
Yeah.
Oh, you doing the Funny Bone of Dayton?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I just was in Dayton.
I know.
I said this on stage. The last time I'd done Dayton was 4 years ago. It was right before my...
Did you open with this?
Yeah, I opened with it. Right before I did my Showtime special, and then the Machine story went viral right after that. I sold absolutely no tickets, right?
Yeah.
No tickets. They misread my contract, and instead of doing a door deal, gave me a guarantee. So then they just papered the fucking room. I sold no tickets, and even in papering it, I had light shows Thursday, late show Friday, late show Saturday, and Sunday. I get in the cab the next morning, 6 in the morning, hungover as fuck. Guy goes, what do you do? I said, comedian. He goes, huh. You at the comedy club this weekend? I said, yeah. And he goes, how are your numbers? I said, not good. He goes, yeah, it's fucking Dayton. And I went, what's that supposed to mean? He goes, Dayton's a dead town. You know, our population hasn't grown in 100 years. I said, I didn't know that. And he goes, yep, people come here. They live here. They die here. That's it. You're never going to do good in this city. Never come back. I was like, wow, where were you fucking on the ride to the club? And so then I went and we sold like 2,500 tickets in Dayton. Yeah, and I literally told that story. They applauded. And I go, fuck you guys. You didn't come to my shows back at the clubs. I go, you guys just showed up now.
Yeah.
I'm happy to have you. But yeah, Dayton, I've been going to Dayton for so long. Went to the bar Sure Shots.
Yeah.
It's my favorite bar in Dayton.
Mm-hmm.
I love Dayton. I love Ohio, man. Ohio might be my favorite state in the Union.
I think I heard you say that.
Talk about Ohio so much.
I thought you were completely insane.
I heard that. I mean, if I could live anywhere, it would be Hawaii, obviously. Hawaii's the greatest place in the world.
Yeah.
But I love Ohio. It's got everything. It's like open-minded enough, but still got Midwest values. You got rolling hills, alpacas, Dave Chappelle.
That's
fucking great.
That's the state. Yeah, yeah.
All right.
That's your favorite state?
I really think so.
Really?
Ohio, I mean, obviously you get like places like Montana where you're like, oh, I could definitely live there. But here's the thing. Here's the slam on Montana. There's not a lot of people. It's super spread out. You got to go to a big city to have anything interesting. In the smaller towns, there are like kind of like small towns in Georgia. Ohio, you're within an hour from everything big. Ohio is just so... And it's got so many big cities. You got Cleveland, Cincinnati, Toledo, Dayton,
Columbus.
Columbus. And Columbus is like the Key West of the Midwest. It's like super liberal. It's amazing. I think it's a great state.
Wow. Big endorsement, man, for my home state. All right. I think you like Ohio more than I do.
I love it. I've been going to Ohio, dude. The first time I ever went, I think, was the Dayton Funny Bone. And it was the first time I ever went. It was like 15 years ago.
That's we told it, I think, on the first episode of this podcast.
What's that?
Well, we talked about the guy that died. Remember the hypnotist?
Oh, yeah.
And I played the Dayton Funny Bone the week after him.
Yeah.
And the guy, Doc, was driving me to the condo.
Yeah.
And he goes, I go, how's the condo? He's like, well, better now that we cleaned, what's his name's pubes out of the sink. And I was like, what? And he goes, he trimmed his pubes in the sink. And I go, why are you telling me this? Like, you cleaned it up, right? He's like, yeah. I go, so I didn't need to know. Like, now I'm going to think about it when I'm brushing my teeth. And he's like, oh, yeah, he fucked it up pretty bad. And I was like, he's like, it's pretty gross, and that room's pretty gross that you're going to be sleeping in for the next 4 nights. I was like, oh, fuck, man.
Doc said to me when I came in one time, I was doing Birth Conqueror, and he goes, I don't like to flex this muscle at all, but kids are a big fan of Birth Conqueror. I was like, yeah. He goes, thought maybe we could go out to Kings Island, ride some roller coasters this weekend. And I was like, looked at him, he goes, you definitely come back next year if you do it. I went, all right, I'm in. Rode roller coasters for a whole day with his kids, had a fucking blast.
And then,
but I was hungover as shit. Doc's like, I have a few beers at the park. I got light shows tonight. You don't have to worry about it. Doc was the best.
Thanks,
man.
Doc.
I fucking loved Doc.
Oh my God.
He didn't die. He's still alive.
He's still alive, yeah.
He rides motorcycles.
He does?
Yeah.
You stay in touch?
I haven't stayed in touch. He was the reason they opened that new club in Liberty Township.
Yeah.
And he opened it. And I guess there was a discrepancy on, they did a soft opening and they didn't bring in the comic they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess Mitch and all them were there and they had a big falling out over a soft opening, I think. By the way, I definitely probably shouldn't be sharing this. And then,
probably not.
Definitely shouldn't be sharing this.
Yeah.
But, and then I guess they parted ways.
Yeah. Okay.
So I think, yeah. It's crazy, man. You invest so much time in these people that you work with.
I know.
And then all of a sudden, one day, they just decide to quit doing what they did.
I know.
And you're like, I still do this.
Well, I couldn't believe it when Dan was gone, you know?
Dan Murr?
No, Godfrey.
Oh, God.
Like,
yeah.
For me, that is always in my brain will be a comedy club manager, right? And then he oversaw the rest of the clubs, and then he's moved on to something else. And I can't get it out of my head that he's not there at the improvs.
I don't think there's one person that is still working at a comedy club when I started.
Yeah.
There's not one person that's just seen it through. Allison at the DC Improv.
She's one of those strongholds. Yeah. That's
last time I was in DC, we were driving to the radio, and she goes, just so you know, I understand this is the last time you'll be playing our club. And I thought I was getting fired.
Oh.
And I was like, okay. She was like, you're probably going to do theaters. And I was like, no, I'm definitely not doing theaters, Allison. She goes, I know what's going on in your career. I just want you to know, like, we love you. We always want you to come back. You know, we'll always have a hard place in our heart for you. And I was like, in my head, I was like, there's no way I'm doing theaters. Now I'm like, ugh, how many is the seat? Did I add a second show in the Dark Constitution Hall? I think I might have, DC. When are we going to tour?
I should talk to you about it because I'm doing a couple dates with somebody else.
Who?
One of my better friends, but then...
You're such a cunt.
We should do it, too.
You know whose fault that is?
Who?
Your agents.
Probably.
Yeah, because they represent him, too.
So we should...
Who are you doing a date with?
I can't announce it. I really can't announce
it.
Okay. But I'll tell you off...
Okay, fine.
I'll tell you off, and then... Who do your agents represent?
Jim Jefferies.
Are you guys doing a date together?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Wait, I'm dying to know who you're doing.
I'll tell you in a second.
Write it down so they can see it on my face.
Okay. All right.
And just say what it rhymes with.
No, I can't. There's only one rhyme. I will. Okay.
I thought so.
You did?
Yeah, wait. Yeah. That's not how you spell his name, but yeah.
You know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Nice. What? How big? How big are venues?
They're pretty big.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. It sucks that our agents. I guess it doesn't suck. That's what they do.
That's what they do.
Yeah.
They're fucking realtors, man. They're just trying to move the units.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, why don't we do it? We could totally get them to. We're doing a thing together.
I forgot about
we
that.
We haven't. We're not allowed to announce it yet, but we're going to announce it soon.
It's in like 2 months.
I know, but they have to give us the green light, man. You don't want to announce it before.
I don't want to announce it before anyone.
No. So let's announce it when they tell us.
Okay.
And then why don't we use that, like how that goes?
I kind of want to go to your show with that guy.
That'll be fun.
Where you guys? Where is it?
It's far.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But why don't we? Why don't we use?
Is he going to be like, he's going to do the whole thing like, hey, you bother me.
That's a great impression. You're so good at these.
What's with these people? Folgers. I'm 47 years old and I'm just giggling like a fucking child.
Do an impression of Jeselnik.
Then he didn't hear it from me.
It's not bad. Rogan?
Hold on one second. I got a good one. Oh. Rather. Rather. He always says rather. He says rather a lot.
Okay.
Is it, you know, it's not so much the impression, it's the words. I pick up on the words.
You pick on words.
Yeah, I pick the word out. And then
Ari?
Ari? Yeah. I don't know why people got upset. I mean. What? Yep. Aretha Franklin gave everyone diabetes. What?
Donnell?
I think we're done with this game.
Just gonna Oh, we were both trying to get like do a little weight loss for this new year.
I'm doing really good right now.
Are you?
Yeah. I'm in the 230 lowers.
I crossed over.
You're below 230?
Yeah.
For real?
Mm-hmm. A few days in a row.
Really? In the 220s?
Yeah, but, I mean, high 220s, but I have been eating nothing but protein and fat.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, that can't be good for your heart.
My wife thinks so.
She's like, well, I'm going to get the money in one way or the other.
He's
either here or not here.
She's like, eat a fucking vegetable. And I'm like, no, carbs, incidental carbs, can't do it.
Incidental carbs?
That's what I call them.
Leanne's on a diet hardcore right now, like a hardcore diet. She's lost 6 pounds. She looks great because she didn't have a ton of weight to lose.
Yeah.
But she is obnoxiously annoying to be around.
What is she eating?
She is eating nothing but greens and protein. Greens and protein.
Like green faces. That diet?
Yeah, it's just greens and protein. Greens and protein. Can't have a drink. So we get to the airport the other day. It's like 6 a.m. By the way, you and fucking Push with your obnoxious person had 3 drinks in the morning. What kind of fucking lunatic is this? You know what? I actually feel the exact fucking opposite. I feel like you guys are out of touch with what reality is and that you might die that day and you're not celebrating life to its fullest.
Morning drinkers are
The best.
Disgusting.
Are the best.
They're disgusting.
Are the best. The best. We are like a religion that doesn't know we're a religion, and we see to each other, and we take care of each other.
I realize that I am discriminating against people, and it's morning drinkers, because I immediately, like, I start to go like a white guy in the 50s in Mobile, just start to go like, ugh, like, what are you doing sitting next to me? Like, I just have disdain for them. Like, I really do. When someone starts drinking in the
morning,
that makes
me want to do it harder.
Really?
That makes me want to do it harder.
To yesterday, fight for your people?
You ready for what I did yesterday?
Yeah.
Yesterday we did the show in Dayton. Fantastic show in Dayton. Thank you to the deaf interpreter who came up on stage with me. Fucking hilarious.
It's always funny.
She was so funny. She was so good. I'm in this article in Vulture where they talk about how they don't just tell you what they're saying. They show you what you're saying.
Yeah.
And it, this woman murdered. I'm gonna
yeah, because they'll go like,
I had her say, fuck him in the ass. And then it's brilliant. So we get done the show. We party at Sure Shots. I come back to the bus. We pack up everything. Take a 2-hour nap. Bus drives us over to the airport. We're at the airport at like 5 o'clock. Go in, go to the bar, and everyone's like feeling like shit. Everyone's hungover. And I go, why didn't everyone just get a drink? And they're like, well, it's 5 a.m. I go, you were having a drink at 3 a.m. Like, what's the what? I don't see the difference between 5 a.m. and 3 a.m. It's been 2 hours. You took a little bit of a nap. You took a little break. Now that was a pre-party. This is the post-party.
Uh-huh.
And they were like, I don't know. And I go,
oh, you mean like normal, regular people?
Yeah, like they're thoughts? Like, rather just be hungover on a plane than have a cocktail and sleep the whole flight. So yesterday morning, I had 3 Tito's and sodas.
At what time?
At Max and Irma's.
What time?
At early in the morning.
5, 6, 6 a.m.?
Before 6:35. Got on my plane, slept the entire flight. Passed out on the plane. Drool in my beard.
Uh-huh.
Drool, soaking wet beard. And Leanne's angry. I haven't slept at all. I haven't slept at all. I said, yeah, because you're a nerd. Because
you're not drinking.
Yeah, you didn't pre-party with your boy before the flight. And then get a cocktail before takeoff and then sleep like a dream.
And then you land and drink?
I wouldn't say drink. I had a drink. Is that what you're asking?
When you land.
I landed. I had a nice tall beer to celebrate my
victory of life. At the airport?
At the airport.
So you went to a bar upon landing at the airport? You're like, I don't have a problem. I'm good.
It's a celebration drink. It's Super Bowl Sunday.
So wait a minute.
I sit at the bar and get to know some people.
Wait, but you landed. You don't want to just go home?
No. I did it. I'm alive. I got to celebrate my life.
How do you get the wife? You're like, hey, we're going to make a pit stop?
I'll meet you at baggage claim. Why? I got to go to the bathroom. Why don't you go to the bathroom down there? Oh, I got to take a shit. Are you sure? Yeah.
And then you go to the bar.
And then I go to the bar.
So you had to deceive her to do the thing that you wanted.
There was no deceiving. She knew what I was doing.
Okay.
She knew exactly what I was doing.
She's like, all right, see it.
But you go up to the bar, sit next to one of your fellow Christians, and you go, hey, man, how you doing? Ah, pretty good. Where are you headed to? I go, just landed. And he goes, oh, that's my man. Fucking beer. Talk about then, who you
let
got
me
today.
Guess. Wait, the guys that are there, would you generally like
top,
describe
top,
them
top
as
top shelf of society? Top shelf of society.
The one percenters.
Yeah. A lot of the one percenters, a lot of girls with big ideas about a vacation. A lot of young women, like, really going to live it up and traveling pants this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
There's some, you know, you can find some down and out kind of guys.
But it takes a while to find them.
You got to look through them.
Yeah.
The bartenders are always pretty fucking.
My favorite was when we flew together once, like a year ago or 2 years ago. And we went into multiple airport bars at you know, on the same day. And every time they're like, Bert! I was like, that's weird.
That is really weird that I know the bartenders at the bars.
Oh, yeah.
Those same bartenders have been at the LAX bars in American forever.
I wouldn't know that.
Oh.
Though I did see our boy when we flew to Hawaii, the dude, the nicest guy that greets in the gray coat.
Fucking God damn it. Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
He's so nice. And I was like,
he said, you know, tell Tom if he ever comes through, he can come through this entrance if I'm here.
Oh, he's the man. So he greeted us and helped us check in. He's the nicest guy.
Yeah. I've sent flowers to bartenders from LAX's funerals.
Really?
Yeah. Carl. Shout out to Carl.
All right.
Carl's a great guy. I've known Carl. I knew Carl from the first day we had Georgia. I went to the bar at the Admiral's Club, got a beer. So what are we celebrating this morning? And I was like, ooh, that kind of worked out nice. I go, I had a daughter. He used to make me a Caucasian. He'd always go, Kreischer, Caucasian? And I said, I'll take one. And Caucasian was a traveler white Russian in a coffee cup with a top on it. He'd make it for you, and you could take it on the plane with you. You could bring it out and walk down the aisle to take it on the plane with you. I miss Carl.
Well, shout out to Carl. Let me just real quick before we leave. I'm doing I have a bunch of dates at the Mirage this year in Las Vegas. They are in March 6th and 7th. Also doing them May 29th and 30th. Also doing them July 17th and 18th, and October 23rd and 24th. Those are all at the Terry Fator Theater at the Mirage. I do have Valley Center, Harrah's Resort, April 18th. And then I added shows. Let's see. I have a bunch of Spanish shows. So if you want to come see an all Spanish show, this week is sold out in Ontario. But next week, Oxnard, and the week after, Tempe. And then I'm doing some more in Dallas, Houston, Austin, San Antonio. Those are all in Spanish. Just hitting some club dates. And I have a bunch of dates coming. They're all at TomSegura.com/tour. Birdie Boy World Tour is going on.
San Jose this weekend, Sacramento, Bakersfield next weekend, Indianapolis, Evansville, Louisville, followed by Medford, Massachusetts. We have added three shows, I think. Mash Nantucket, that's the Borgata, correct?
Mash Nantucket is not the Borgata. Mash Nantucket?
Yeah.
That's not the Borgata.
Yeah.
It is?
Yeah.
I thought the Borgata was in Atlantic City.
I don't know where I'll be playing in Mash Nantucket. I'm almost certain it is.
I thought it was a different name.
I'll tell you right now. Let's see. What's that date? March. The Beacon. I'm at the Beacon?
That's New York City.
I'm at Foxwoods. Foxwoods. I'm there sorry. Foxwoods.
See, I told
Foxwoods.
You. I didn't mislead
My fucking
you.
My brain sucks. Foxwoods. I'm at Foxwoods. And then Portland, Maine, Wilkes-Barre, Schenectady. And we've added a show in New York City. What's the name of that theater? At
the Beacon.
At the Beacon. We've added a show at the Beacon. We've added a show in D.C., New Orleans, Montgomery, Huntsville, Springfield, Peoria, Sioux City, Cedar Rapids, and it goes on. We've added a third show in Orlando. We have added a show in Tampa. We have added a show. We've added a bunch of shows. So go to burtburtburt.com. Brand new hour of material, and it opens with a Tommy Buns joke. And it's fucking – I had so much fun doing – new material. This is my favorite part of stand-up, is the new material shit.
It's the most fun.
It's the most fun. It makes you love it again. Like, you go like, dude, I could do this forever.
Yeah,
because... And now everything's off my plate. No special, no TV show, just touring.
Yeah.
Dude, this is going to be like the greatest year of my life. I can't wait. I'm going to get skinny. I'm going to get hair plant transplants.
Where are you going to go?
I'll tell you. I talked to someone who got some good ones.
Really good ones?
Really good ones, so much so that I don't think people know that he has hair transplants.
It's well known.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Well, but he gave you the guy?
Yeah, and his hair looks fucking awesome.
All right. Are you going to go do it?
I was thinking.
Dude, you should do it.
I was thinking about that and getting another wife. I was like, I could really...
But if you get that hair done, you got to just not say it when it's... Just kind of walk out. Just have a full head of hair.
Oh, I'd have it go real low, too.
Yeah.
Like, you know, those Mexican kids whose hair starts down here like they're wolves? Do you know those? You know those Latino kids that got to shave their hairline back to make it look normal?
Uh-huh.
That's what I want.
Uh-huh.
You're the opposite of those Latinos.
How much is that transplant?
$50,000.
$50,000.
That's what I'm at. $25,000. So yeah, I think he's gone back a couple times.
Oh, he has?
Yeah, you know, I think that's what, and I talked to another guy who's done it, and they've gone back a couple times and they just fill you in.
Yeah. I know.
Do you want me to give you my hair?
That'd be cool. Well, actually, our hair loss is in different areas.
Yeah.
So why don't I?
Why don't we rock, I paper, scissors, and one person gets a full head of hair and one person goes bald?
Wait, take your thing back a little second.
It's pretty good.
All right. I love you.
I love you too.
See you guys.
Bert and Tom, Tom and Bert. One goes topless while the other wears a shirt. Tom tells stories and Bert's the machine. There's not a chance in hell that they'll keep it clean. Here's what we call Two Bears, One Cave. No scripts, a bit of booze, amateur partology. Dirty jokes, raunchy humor, no apologies. Here's what we call Two Bears, One Cave.